WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Yes, we're still at an AM 1570. Appreciate so many folks reaching out to us during the holiday weekend and giving thanks. And we have Day of Giving on Tuesday. Our friends at Wise Markets are working on that. So if you're out and about rounding up, taking good care of people, doing holiday shopping, we're going to be out at Fadley's next Friday doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation. I'll be giving away some Raven scratch-offs down at the old Lexington Market, what's left of it at Fadley's before they move into the new Lexington Market, and of course down to Catonsville. And they're shipping crab cakes out of Fadley's, shipping crab cakes lots and lots of places. I'll be talking about that all month with all of our partners here who ship delicious crab cakes all over the world. I highly recommend that you ship from two places or three places because they're really, really different. And that's one of the reasons I go out and do this. You know, it's more fun to talk about crab cakes and how much fun I had with Mike Bordick and Adam Kolarik, even though he didn't bring his World Series ring, which I'm still upset about, 2 weeks ago at Pappas. But, you know, it is purple therapy week around here. And Lamar Jackson needed a hug on Sunday night after the game as, I mean, I don't even know what to say about his tirade other than being a little anti-gay, more than a little anti-gay, a little unbecoming, and certainly uncool. And, you know, I was writing my columnist, Luke and I were doing our post game on it. It kind of came to me into the evening on Sunday night. And even after sleeping on it, I'm not going to punt on it, Luke. I'm not going to say, you're just not going to go out on the internet for millions of people and say these kinds of things without being held accountable.
Yeah, it's unbecoming of someone that's the face of your franchise. It's immature. And it's a case of, you know, whether it's a teammate, whether it's someone on the PR staff, whoever, take his phone from him. I mean, literally, if it's...
Well, this is on Chad Steele. No offense to Chad Steele, but...
Well,
this is
Lamar's
part of
an adult at the end of the day.
Chad wants to be the brand manager to make sure I'm not there to ask Harbaugh questions on Sunday, and I would have been there to ask all of them questions, including running the ball 14 times, and, like, how much is too much, because I'll always ask that question, and they never want to answer that question. And we'll get to the football side of this, but this is beyond football. It's the face of the franchise. It's the brand. It's unbecoming in some ways. It's probably, you know, off the top rope and in some other places in the community where this is going to be frowned upon. And this is going to be something that comes back on him in not such a good way. And I know we all say things, and I've been saying things for 31 years that I'm held accountable to every word that I say here. I would think that at some point you can't just say, well, he's just a dumb kid. He's not. He's a grown-ass man, and he is the face of the franchise, and I don't think he meant Dick Cass.
Yeah, and I mean, look, do I think this is going to be a big thing that lingers? No, I don't. Do I think it's a bad look? Absolutely. Do I think it's unbecoming of the face of your franchise and your franchise quarterback? Yes. I mean, it's a bad look. It's immature, and frankly, this is why I think, not in general, although I would, for someone who's making millions or someone that's in the realm of the NFL or pro sports or the political realm, anyone that is a public figure, and I don't mean on even on our scale, I mean someone that is a public figure as a national public figure or a global public figure, why social media is way more bad than good quite often, especially after a football game. I mean, I'll be totally honest with you, Nestor. I don't even play, but after these types of losses, I dread opening up my mentions sometimes. And I just know because fans, and look, so much of it's passionate and so much of it is fine.
So much of it, people are drunk. Well, I believe that.
Or people are just ticked. And look, I understand that.
Dude, I've been a public figure longer than you. And believe me, man, like, I have all sorts of screenshots of violent, just awful stuff directed at me, and has been long before I knew you, right? This is when they used to write those Clint Eastwood movie letters to the Baltimore Sun. Like, really goofy stuff happened when I was at the newspaper, when letters to the editor opened the door for that. But these guys are supposed to be versed in this. These guys are supposed to be smarter than this. These guys have been getting schooled by coaches, leaders, agents. He doesn't have an agent. Like I, you know, the first thing is the age, it's a guardrail. We all saw Jerry Maguire, at least Steinberg on last week, that you have grown-ups around you, not named Chad Steele or Kevin Byrne or John Harbaugh or Eric DaCosta or Steve Bisciotti to say, you can't do this. We're not going to let you do this. This isn't good. Who
It's a
calls
less.
Lamar today and pulls him up and says, other than me and you on the radio and everybody at 105.7, right, that'll be calling in, who pulls him up and says to him, this is mother? I don't know. I mean, like, literally, who would he listen to if he did that in the heat of battle after a
Well,
game? Probably on the airplane in Jacksonville, right? Like, it happened literally in the hour and a half after the game, right?
I mean, I don't remember the exact time because I was busy doing post-game work. I saw the tweet. It's since been deleted. I would assume his mother, and I'm assume multiple people probably told him to delete it, and that's why he deleted it. And that's why you don't take the bait of social media. That's, writers have said for years since since the internet became a thing and articles became a thing on the internet, don't read the comments because it's just, for you get plenty of great comments. And let's be clear about that. I'm not at all bashing interaction. Interaction's great. And that's one way that athletes have been able to touch so-called commoners in some very positive ways. And we see those stories on social media, but we know that there's the other side of it. And you see comments that come from frustrated fans, drunk or not drunk, racist or not racist, frustrated, whatever, whatever it might be. And a large portion of it is a cesspool. And when you take the bait and you stoop to that level, people are going to notice it way more than whatever, Castle Will Kill or whatever the Twitter handle was that tweeted Lamar about, the Ravens saying the Ravens should let him walk and spend that money on a well-rounded team. So, it's a big mistake. And as I said, it's unbecoming of someone that you view to be the face of your franchise. And, it's something that
It
you don't want to
wasn't even a
see.
malicious tweet, which is even more crazy, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, but at the same time, you let Lamar walk and spend that money on. I mean, it comes down to this. First of all, I will say this much. I think anyone who tweets inflammatory stuff and includes a player's handle after a game, you're asking to pick a fight. Maybe what that said wasn't over the top in terms of slurs or bad language or whatever it was directed at him, but it's still trying to bait a player. I think that stuff's low. I really do. I'm not going to change my mind about that. However, Lamar Jackson's the professional athlete here, who's the one who has more to lose. Has nothing to gain by doing that and everything to lose by doing that. Do I think it's the end of the world? Do I think it's something that's going to have major ramifications or should? No, not really. But it's a terrible look, and I'm not going to shy away from that. So the fact that he deleted it leads you to believe that either people around him or himself, after reflecting on it for however long it stood up there before it was deleted, he realized that. So, it's something that. On the heels of a very frustrating loss for the Baltimore Ravens, certainly not a great reflection of the organization, that's for sure.
All right, so in the aftermath of all of this, we have the Denver Broncos coming to town. Focus back on that. Although I'm sure, I think the Lamar thing, it will blow over. It's just not going to blow over before like Wednesday or Thursday, and then it'll be just time to like go play football again. And Denver has their own problems, right? But for this team and for what happened on Sunday and the way it went down, and having the defense be a part of this. That we thought this was an emerging defense and all of these things that happened in the last 8 minutes wouldn't happen. Picking up the pieces on all that, I don't think the offense is capable to some degree. Like the more I look at it, I think this, if they're going to play without Ronnie Stanley, it's not going to go well. Now, part of getting him back and where they can be with DeMarcus Robinson or, I mean, I don't know that any of these guys emerge, DeSean Jackson, but whether he can be useful. And they throw the ball to him 3 times and he catches one of them and it's for 50 yards and it breaks open a game in Pittsburgh 2 weeks from now or whatever. That I see and feel all that, but I'm trying to get the vibe of the offense and what they're doing when they can't get plays in. I think the most disturbing thing is the coordination of how many times it's 5-4-3, Lamar's clapping his hands and needs the ball. That's a way different thing than really being optimal, read the defense, see what's going on, have the quarterback look at the field. That's not happening. It's almost ever, really. I mean, play to play, this thing's choppy getting the offense in. And I think that's a bigger problem than the players or the lack of skill position players. It doesn't give them the best chance to succeed.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly part of it. I don't know if I'd say it's the biggest problem because, frankly, that's something that was happening even a couple years ago. And they've always, under Greg Roman, they've been a slower-paced offense. They have. Except, you know, the difference was when you're clicking in the red zone the way that they were 3 years ago or at a higher level than they've been this year, you know, which, as I noted to you in a previous conversation, since going 8-for-10 inside the red zone over the first three games, they're 14-for-33. I mean, they're down to 24th in the league, and it would be 30th or 31st if you want to take out the first 3 weeks and you just want to go over these last eight games. Now, how much of that has to do with plays getting in, as we mentioned, the flow of it, getting up to the line of scrimmage, substituting, allowing a Lamar Jackson ample time to read the defense. You know, how much of that is Roman and the play calling? How much of that is substitutes getting on and off the field quickly enough? How much of that is Lamar Jackson himself relaying the play and looking at the line of scrimmage? I think it's a combination of all those things. And that's where I struggle so much with where this football team is in its totality, because you know, I see issues that crop up all over the place. And when something seems to get fixed, then something else springs a leak, right? I mean, on Sunday was a great example. The red zone offense was the primary culprit through three quarters, and then the defense completely fell apart in the fourth quarter. And I'll remind everyone, the time of possession was very much in the defense's favor. So as much as we talk about running the ball and time of possession and leaning on your defense and defense wins championship, everything was setting up there for the defense to finish the game, and they collapsed in the fourth quarter. So, you know, it's funny. I actually went and looked this up, Nestor, and I'm going to include this in some at some point at BaltimorePositive.com. And it's not even to suggest that I think that they need to fire someone or make a change this dramatic, but I kind of go back to the America's Game, the NFL Network special, where John Harbaugh talked about the decision to remove Cam Cameron in December of that season. And again, this is not me saying that the Ravens need or should do that with Greg Roman. It's more of just a general comment that resonated with me. And the comment, you know, I'm reading it verbatim because I went back and looked at it. His comment at the time was reflecting on that decision was, I felt like we were running down parallel roads. It's kind of like the side road next to the highway. We kept trying to find the exit to get onto the main highway and really take off, and we just couldn't find our way over there. I didn't know exactly where the road was, but you just kind of knew we just couldn't keep going down this road. We had to get over there somewhere or somehow. Now, this team had just won four games in a row. I get that. You know, they're 7-4. They're not 4-7. You know, and as you mentioned a few minutes ago, they could be a team like the Denver Broncos who had higher expectations than what their record reflects right now, to say the least. And they're an absolute mess. So let's have the proper perspective here. At the same time, I'll go back to what I said earlier when we were talking about this game, how the Ravens are now the fourth team in NFL history to have a two-score lead in their first 11 games. And I saw CBS Sports tweeted it out. The other three teams were 11-0. You know, it was a Bears team from back in the 40s. It was the 09 Saints who won the Super Bowl. And it was the 2011 Packers who went 15-1. And remember, they lost in the divisional round to the Giants that year. So you look at those teams being 11-0, and okay, 11-0, fine. You know, not that's a high standard. If you're 10-1, 9-2, it'd be acceptable. But 7-4, that's good. It's nothing special. Certainly not reflective of a team that's a juggernaut or a team that's wanting to be included among the elite contenders in this league. That doesn't reflect that. So, you know, it really is a case of, as I've said before, and I can't put my finger on it, but something is just off or missing. And I don't know exactly what it is. Again, this team plays so well for stretches, and they do so many things well at times, but then they just they fall apart at the wrong time. I mean, They played 11 games if they and they've blown two score leads in four of them now. I mean,
Well, it's hard to
it's over
get
a
a
third of
lead
the
in the fourth
season.
quarter. If you have a lead in the fourth quarter every week, I would say that's a sign you're a pretty good team.
Yeah, exactly. But then why is that not translating to more wins then? Why is that only translating to 7-4 when the other three teams in NFL history to do that were 11-0? And okay, let's throw the Bears out. That's the 40s, you know? I mean, leather helmets and you know, that's a totally different ball game. But
Well, the
yeah,
other part
the
of this
09
is the other
Saints.
team's trying to, and it really does speak to how good Tua was that day, what Josh Allen can do, what Trevor Long, what these elite quarterbacks, all of them, are capable of doing in the air late in the game when they're down, and when it opens up, and when it's nut cut time, as they would say, when all of them are tired, all of them are bruised, all of them are they're huffing and puffing, and who can go out there at the end and make. Not one play. I mean, double digit leads. This isn't about, oh, we popped the ball free and they made one play. I mean, Lawrence went down the field and completed fourth downs, third downs, first downs, back shoulder, front, like across the middle, dirting the ball. They thought he was going to dirt the ball and he merinoed them. Literally,
Yeah.
right? So like that kid looked like he's done this before in a way that no offense to even to Baker Mayfield because he was a 1-1-2, but some of the other lesser lights in the league are incapable of that. And they have found themselves up against the wrong quarterback, the wrong offense at the wrong time. And clearly, these passes have been on the money. I mean, I got to tip my cap to the other side a little bit in these wins, too. They've played exceptional football to make it happen. But that being said, you got to make plays on the back end. Even just a 2-point conversion at the end, that 21 certainly wasn't Chris McAllister that was chasing him down in the corner. And I'm thinking, this is how you lose games, man.
Yeah, well, and the sobering reminder here is you're not seeing Andy Dalton and Baker Mayfield in the playoffs. I mean, you know, that's why I thought so much of the hype as far as, you know, so many people talking about this becoming the next great Ravens defense. It's just like, where's the body of work that supports this? And I get it. People are excited about Roquan Smith coming on board, and he's been a good addition. There's no question about that. I'm not diminishing him, but I think what had kind of been masked in recent weeks because of Kyle Hamilton emerging to become the nickel and also facing some underwhelming opponents. Let's face it. I mean, even going back to Brady and the Buccaneers, yeah, they scored into the 20s, even with that offense, certainly not firing on all cylinders at that point in time. But okay, you dominate Andy Dalton and the Saints, and, you know, plenty of people in New Orleans have been calling for him to be benched for weeks now, and Baker Mayfield has been benched already. You know, look, it's great to put up good performances against those types of quarterbacks, but if you can't stop Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars, what's that going to mean against Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Tua Tagovailoa and maybe Joe Burrow? And I mean, just go down the list. I mean, those are the kind of quarterbacks you're facing in January. And if you're a team that's saying, hey, we're going to win with our running game and our defense, and then you can't get the job done and you blow a two-score lead in the fourth quarter against Jacksonville, I'm sorry, that doesn't translate to me thinking you're going to be a team that's going to make noise in January. So it's frustrating. And it is a reminder, again, as we mentioned, and as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, I think it's a reminder as much as we've seen improvement with the pass rush, as much as, you know, Roquan Smith has made the inside linebacker position more robust, and you know, we've seen that have a positive effect on Patrick Queen Sunday, notwithstanding, I think you still look at the secondary and look, Hamilton will be back. Marcus Williams started practicing this past week. He'll be back, so that will help. But you still look at the cornerback position right now. You have Marlon Humphrey, who's playing at a high level. Check. He's been a legit number one corner. No problems there. Marcus Peters, it's been very up and down. And look, I'm not saying that to bash someone coming back from an ACL injury. We know that that is a difficult injury to come back from, but you're counting on him to give you high-level play if you're talking about a team that wants to not just get to the playoffs, but make noise. And it's been very up and down. We saw some,
I
you
see
know,
him
some.
more as a big play guy than an every play guy at
I
this
mean,
point.
it's. But at the same time, we've seen a couple big plays, but has it been as many big plays as we saw 2 or 3 years ago? No, and certainly we've seen more struggles in coverage. And Sunday was, you know, kind of the low point in that regard for him. So,
Well, part
but
of their
he's
pick me up is their all strips. They're all going with a punch, right?
Sure.
And they every play, they're punching, they're punching, they're punching. That's sort of the make good for having the guy caught the ball and he's running away, right? The only way to make it right is to punch it out at that point, right?
Yeah.
And they're being coached to do that to some degree to their own detriment. But it only takes one, you know, like, so if
Right.
they punch 30 times and the ball pops out one time, Marcus Peters is the guy punching or Marlon Humphrey's the guy punching, they did something great, even though six, eight completions later down the road.
Right. And again, Marcus Peters, it's been he's had his moments this year. I don't want to say he's been awful, because I don't think that would there's plenty of awful cornerbacks around the league just watch on a weekly basis. I mean, you see it. But has he been the guy he was 2 years ago? Has he been the guy he was 3 years ago? No. And I think it's you can really all they can do is hope that he continues to regain his pre-injury form down the stretch and is better and better as the year goes on. And it felt like it was moving in that direction until Sunday's game. And certainly that was a big setback in that regard in terms of perception. But he's going to be 30 in January. And also he's going to be a free agent this offseason. So that complicates matters in terms of both the short and the long-term evaluation here. Not at all suggesting he's going to be benched or anything like that. I mean, who else are you going to put in there? Yeah, we saw Brandon Stevens is the next best they have at the cornerback
I think
position.
Marcus
And
Peters is a dog. I think he's a guy you want on your team. The question is whether he's good enough, right? Right
right.
now, I don't. I'm not anti Marcus Peters. I mean,
No.
I at all.
No, he's not, he's coming back from an ACL. And this is why the Kyle Fuller injury at the beginning of in week one hurt. This is why the slow, I don't even know if I want to say slow development. I mean, they were fourth round rookies. You know, we saw Jalen Armour Davis get an audition earlier this season as the number three corner. He clearly wasn't ready, and he's been a healthy scratch, and now he's on IR. Damarian Williams, you know, Pepe Williams, we've seen flash some promise here and there. But he's not Tavon Young in his prime. That's for sure. Brandon Stevens, you know, he even had some moments in Sunday's game. I mean, he had the drive-ending tackle in the first two possessions of the second half for Jacksonville. But, you know, we also saw him targeted quite frequently. It is clear when he is on the field as the third corner, quarterbacks are going after him or Marcus Peters. They're not going after Marlon Humphrey, which, you know, is great for Marlon Humphrey, but you know, in this day and age where you play nickel or dime way more than you play base, that's going to be a problem. So, would Kyle Hamilton have fared better against this Jacksonville passing game, which is certainly more capable than Carolina or New Orleans in recent weeks? I think it's fair to say that. Would he have shut them down? I think it's impossible to say that. So, the overall point is, for as much as we've talked about some of this defensive improvement, they are still very light at, in my opinion, the most important position on the defense, and that's corner. So, you know, you can keep pointing to, okay, well, you know, Hamilton will be back and Marcus Williams will be back. You know, if you keep waiting for optimal health in this game of attrition, it's probably not going to happen when you need it to. And you know, you'll get those guys back, but you might lose one or two other guys along the way. That's just the nature of the beast. I mean, look at
I'm
the
still
injuries.
waiting for Mark Andrews to have the 9 for 140 and win the game, and they win by 17 points. Might be this week, right? I'm waiting for Gus Edwards to run the ball in the fourth quarter and to have 11 and 14 play drives that end with touchdowns and not field goals to salt games. Like, that's how you win championships. Whatever this is suboptimal, obviously, right? Offensively, defensively, we're going to beat them up for a day, and we should. But I still think this defense can be a Super Bowl defense. The offense, I think it needs Ronnie Stanley and then needs to show me a running game as it gets cold. It needs to show me that it can throw the football with accuracy and the guys can catch the football. I don't see any of that happening right now. God bless Josh Oliver and DeSean Jackson and DeMarcus Robinson 2 weeks ago now. And, like, you know, the names that we come up with, that's fine. But there's nothing reliable here.
Yeah, I'll agreed with you on talking about the offense, most of those elements of the offense. What about this defense has shown that they can be championship caliber? Because they held the Panthers to 3 points? I mean, at some point in time, the body of work is statistically has been mediocre. Now, it's been better since the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season, but it's still been a mediocre defense statistically. It has been.
Right.
Go
Maybe
look
I'm
at the numbers.
enamored with Calais Campbell blowing kisses to
I mean,
Jacksonville and Justin Houston and JPP and these guys I've heard of from 10 years ago, right? Like, at some point,
I
JPP looked like
guess
he was in
at some point
quicksand.
they got to start. I mean, I just, and believe me, I'm going to be clear now, sir. I'm not picking on you. Lots of people have said that, but at some point it's like, show me, like, what have they done that's been that impressive? Again, they helped the Panthers to 3 points. They just benched their quarterback. I mean, at some point in time, like, the hype is undeserved. I mean, until they start doing this, I mean, look at what they, they gave up however many points in the fourth quarter against Miami. Now, that doesn't look as bad as it did in week two, but they still didn't stop them. They couldn't stop Josh Allen and the Bills in the fourth quarter. I mean, it
Yeah,
just comes down
you
to it.
can't say, well, we didn't win because they're really
Right.
good. In January, that's when you go home. If
I
you
mean,
can't tackle Derrick Henry, you'll go home. That's all.
I mean, I'll, I mean, I, and I'll say this much. Yeah, on paper, I hear what you're saying. And I think you could say the same thing about, I mean, you have a former unanimous MVP at quarterback. You have an all-pro tight end. You,
You have the
Ronnie
best
Stanley
kicker
will
on
be
earth.
back. Right. I mean, you look at all these elements, and it goes back to that factoid. I mean, as much as it doesn't matter at all at the end of the day, it is still remarkable that this team has done something that only three other teams in NFL history have done in terms of building a two-score lead in 11 games to start a season, all 11 games. But those teams are 11 and 0, and they're 7 and 4. I mean, something's not adding up here. And again, I don't know exactly what it is, and I'm not saying it's one thing or one person even. It might be multiple things,
It is
but
amazing it'll never be
it,
done again in the history of the game. To have 11 leads in the fourth quarter of double digits and lose four of them, that will never, that's DiMaggio, dude.
right. Well, and it hasn't all it hasn't all been the fourth quarter, but they've had at some point over the course of the game, they've had a two-score lead in all 11 of those games, and to lose four of them, I mean, that sounds, it sounds almost impossible, right? Because you have to be so good to get to that, to get a lead like that in 11 straight games. But to blow four of them is just, I mean, it's galaxy brain kind of stuff. It really is.
Yeah, it's not about one block punt or one missed field goal or something like that. All right, Luke is here. You can find him at Baltimore Luke. He'll be in Owings Mills all week. We have talked offense. We have talked defense. We've talked Lamar Jackson. We've talked tweeting. We've talked defense. And at some point, the rest of the league and, the Eagles can't stop winning, right? Joe Burrow is a problem for me. The more I watch him play, and the more I watch Lamar play, and the more I watch these two teams play, and I think to myself, I the Bengals are going to be better next month than the Ravens because I think as long as he's healthy, I worry about the Bengals. Now, talk Dolphins, talk about the Jets, even installing Mike White and winning, albeit against the Bears, but impressively for a week and being the Jets and them having prosperity and finally and benching the quarterback and like all of the drama that went into that, they won the game. The league is taking on a shape right now, and it's very, very unfortunate for the Ravens because the division is so stacked that once you start looking through this, other than saying, well, they play a bunch of bad teams, you would say that about the Ravens right now. I don't know if the Browns are a bad team or not. We're going to find out in a couple of weeks, and they're going to have a different quarterback as well. I'm a little concerned about the Ravens' pathway to a Super Bowl more than anything else, and it's these other teams in the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we've talked about. I mean, the schedule on paper doesn't really scare you in the sense of you always have these AFC North games, right? And certainly we're not talking about a Cleveland team that was as good as it was a couple years ago, but it is a team that, that scored points. And I'll continue to say, I'm going to be fascinated to see if they're actually better with Deshaun Watson or not. Jacoby Brissett hasn't been their problem. I'm not saying he's been an all-pro quarterback, but he certainly has not been their biggest problem. I mean, their problem has really been, for the most part, they haven't been able to stop anyone. I mean, it really, that's why the Ravens, kind of having the performance they had against Cleveland a few weeks, now over a month ago, where, it was choppy, and that's a Browns defense that hasn't really stopped anyone. But you look at that. You look at Pittsburgh, and we'll see what the Steelers look like. They're only after Denver, the Ravens go to the land formerly known as Heinz Field to take on the Steelers, and you see what they're going to be. And certainly we know what this rivalry is all about. We all remember Charlie Batch. We all remember Ryan Mallett. So certainly you're not going to go there expecting a layup, or no one should be anyway. But I think you look around at the rest of the conference. I mean, you know, Kansas City, you know, their schedule is as forgiving, if not more forgiving, than the Ravens right now. So they're really on the fast track to be in the number one seed, even if, you know, that wasn't an overly impressive win over Rams team that's completely decimated at this point. But, you know, Miami continues to trend up. And I think the big question for Miami is they're going to score points. It's just a matter of, will their defense be good enough? You know, can they get their defense to be good enough? Because they're going to score a ton. You know, Tennessee, you know, I feel like Tennessee's kind of like the Ravens right now. I mean, you know, do you really think that they're a serious threat to make a run in January? I don't know the way that they're currently constructed. But, you know, Buffalo, we've talked about them a lot. I think Cincinnati, I think they're fascinating from the sense of, I do think they're becoming a better and better team, but I still look at just how brutal their schedule is. And, you know, you made mention of it. By the season's end, they might be better than the Ravens from a true talent standpoint and a better team. Do I think that necessarily means that they're going to have a better record, or that they're going to eclipse the Ravens to win the division? That's where I just look at their schedule compared to the Ravens' schedule and say,
well, that's where the Ravens urinating a game away in Jacksonville really becomes worrisome, because that is the buffer. The buffer is you got to win the games you're supposed to win, because you might lose to the Bengals and you might lose to the Steelers one of these times, or to the Browns, because they're going to pick up some losses in the division.
Yeah.
If they go clean through the division, we'll be sitting here whistling zippity-doo-dah, and, you know, we won't have a week off, because I don't think they're going to be that good, but or anybody else is going to be that bad above them. But I'm trying to figure out where they are in January, and no matter where they are, this pathway, whether it's Tennessee coming here in week one or Miami coming here in week one or whatever it would be, it's very difficult for me to look at these other teams and find a way to be in love with the Ravens offense.
Yeah, I think that's fair, and I'll continue to say it. What about their body of work tells you that the Ravens defense is going to stop Kansas City or stop
Mr. Anti-Defense, Luke? Look at you.
I'm just saying, and as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, the fourth quarter, it's been more sizzle than steak. It just has been. And I don't want to hear about Baker Mayfield and Andy Dalton and shutting them down. Big whoop. I mean, big whoop. Seriously, we should have higher standards in this town. If we're going to talk about this being the next great Ravens defense, it's as though we've forgotten the last 25 years. I mean, come on. This defense has had its moments against lesser competition. Other than that, it's been a pretty mediocre defense, and that's just the truth. Go look at the numbers. You know,
I mean, you can look it up.
What performance are you hanging your hat on to say this defense is the next great defense? I'm sorry, beating Carolina is not it. You know, holding Carolina to 3 points isn't it. Holding New Orleans to 13 points isn't it. You're talking about teams that are benching their quarterback or should be. So I'm just going to say that nothing about this defense right now gives me confidence that they're going to slow down those high-octane passing games in January to the degree that they would need to if they're going to continue to not be very good in the red zone and not be able to throw the ball themselves. Just the truth. Now, that's late. That's my assessment in late November and early December. Does that change by year's end? No, we'll see. I think the problem is, goes back to what we said. With this schedule, who exactly are you going to beat other than Cincinnati in week 18, which who knows if that's going to mean anything, that's really going to alter your opinion, you know, in terms of quality of competition and going up against the elites. You know, they went up against merely a decent offense on Sunday, and you saw what happened in the fourth quarter. So,
yeah, I think he's an elite quarterback, and I think that doing what
he's not
did,
yet. I mean, he might be on his way, but he hasn't. You know, he hasn't done.
But
anything.
That's how you stack and become an elite quarterback, is to go and beat the Ravens and come from behind and do it at home and back shoulder a guy and lead an offense and not make the kind of mistakes. And even when your guy jumps and sets you back 5 yards, you still complete the pass and move the stick. Like I like that. I like that. I always like that about Flacco. I like winning offenses, except when it's happening against us. It was Tom Brady, or it was Peyton Manning, or it was Ben Roethlisberger. All right, Luke, we will continue to debate, strong with strong opinions out at BaltimorePositive.com. You guys can find Luke at Baltimore Luke, of course, anywhere good social media is still served out on the interwebs. I'm going to be at Fadley's on the 9th. We're putting together a little special downtown show at Lexington Market, all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation. We'll be down there talking about shipping crab cakes for all of our sponsors, the shipping season. You make the holidays better, man. Order your favorite crab cakes or my favorite crab cakes and ship them. Do what Billick does. He gets them from three places and compares them all. So that makes it even more fun for everybody. It's like bringing the executive chefs in for Christmas Eve, and you can just go online and say, I want them delivered on the 23rd, 24th December. You get them, no problem. And wherever your loved one is in the continental U.S. All right, I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We're talking football all week long. Hope you read my columnist. Make sure you're checking out all of Luke's post-game thoughts and all of his work out in Owings Mills as well. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.